Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another wonderful, awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day, wonderful week so far. I'm just so glad to be able to get another recording, another word out to you guys. I've been going through the book of Romans. So this is just really getting started really in the book of Romans. So I'm really excited about it. And the Lord has really put a burden on my heart to go through the book of Romans and just really talk about it, really share the scriptures with you all. And hopefully God will use me, to give you a word or, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's some encouragement, whether it be something, whatever it may be, something that might have enlightened you, something that the Lord may speak to you about. Today, we're going to be getting into, or I'm going to be getting into Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and it's entitled God's Judgment of Sin. So very straightforward passage, a very straightforward scriptures about Paul and the letter to the Roman church and how he talks about what God's judgment of sin will consist of and what his standards are. It's no different. God has never changed, even though our society changes, our culture changes, the ages changes, the generations change. You know, you hear it all the time. You know, when we was kids, we always say, well, parents are old. They don't think the way we think and all that other stuff. But you know what? God never changes. God has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we got to get into this book. We got to get into this word and see what God is talking about and what he was angry about and what he will judge sin, will judge people of sin about. Remember, we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior for salvation. That is free. That is a free gift. But let's move past that and let's start living a life that God desires and God wants. Remember, it's one thing to get saved, and I'm not saying that's the very most important part, because we cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot work our way into heaven. All right, I'm already starting to preach about this, but I want to just encourage some of you to understand that while there's still today, while it's still daylight, while it's still today, or we are on this side of God's judgment, we have time to begin to walk according to God's word and God's way in our lives, so that we won't feel as though, oh my goodness, I haven't been walking according to God's ways, and I'm scared. I'm worried that God is, as I'm not pleasing to him. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to be 100% perfect. I'm saying that you have to at least have the intentionality to walk toward what God wants. Read your Bible, pray every day, ask the Lord to help you, ask the Lord to guide you through the Holy Spirit. That's what you should do. Not just my voice, not by somebody else's voice, not by somebody else's standards, by God's standards. Amen. So I want you to listen to this, listen to the words of the scripture. And as we talk about it, and at the end, if you're not saved, pray this prayer at the end of this podcast, at the end of this episode. I pray that this episode will bless you and you continue to walk in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God, man. Okay. So sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. So let's get into today's Bible reading out of the book of Romans. So we're going to be reading out of the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And so hopefully you either have your Bibles ready or just following along or listening along. And so, again, as I always say, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this listening audience. And I really appreciate it. So let's get into what God has to say today. First, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for another day, Lord God, that you allowed us to see. Thank you for my listeners, Lord God, each and every one of them, Lord God, whoever they may be, wherever they may be listening to me from. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless them, continue to work mightily through them and on them, Lord God, and pray that this word would give us some clarity, give us some direction, some guidance, how to apply this word, this word of scripture to our lives. What do you have to say to us today? Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for everything, who you are. Thank you for your power, your grace, your mercy, your provision, Lord God. We thank you for just blessing us with food to eat, breath in our bodies, waking us up this morning, allowing us to get good enough rest, Lord, and going to work and whatever we are doing, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our cousins and uncles and whoever was around us and friends and family. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we would pray for each other. And pray for the world at large, Lord God. Pray for the countries that are at war. Pray for just everything that's happening in our day today, Lord God. And help us to continue to be a witness, be a light in this dark world. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let us read out of Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 1. If you hadn't got a chance to listen to the last reading, it was Romans chapter 1. I can't remember what the verses were, but it was a part 1 and a part 2. And so this will be the same way. I'm sure we won't be able to get through the entire chapter 2 today. So just want to kind of, keep you in expectation of that for now. All right. God's judgment of sin is the title of this section. And we're going to start. It says, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourselves. For you who judge others do these very same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sins, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by that law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. So what do you guys think about this? This is another part of God, of Paul's letter to the Roman church. As we read, continuing from Romans chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, let us just go over that, because it seems as though this was a continuation of what Paul was talking about from chapter 1. So for the sake of the continuity of the scripture, let's go back and just read a little bit about from what Paul was saying here. And let's go to Romans chapter 1. And we'll go ahead and start with verse 28. Verse 28, Romans chapter 1. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. And then he goes into Romans chapter 2, where it says, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourselves, for you who judge others do these very same things. So it's very interesting of the audience that Paul has, or the people that he is writing this letter to. So we're seeing that, first of all, this is a very condemning letter. This is a letter that Paul is not saying how good the people are doing. He is actually addressing the sin that we all have, but we also understand that this is God's judgment of sin. And Paul is very accurate, in my opinion, of the tone of this letter, because we ought to think, we ought to know, and as believers, we ought to know that God doesn't play around when it comes to sin, and he will judge. And the reason why he will judge and has to judge is because he is a God of righteousness, and he is a God of justice. If he weren't a God of righteousness or justice, then we think about it, we wouldn't have no barometer when it comes to living right according to God. So as we see here, he's talking directly to these people, and he says, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. Okay, that means you are just as bad. You're no different than what he had described in Romans chapter 1. And so we can see that. So, and I'm going to say this right here at this point. One of the things that is helping us right now in reading out of the book of Romans, reading out of the book of Romans chapter 1 and 2 so far, it is letting us all know that we as human beings, we are wicked. We are a wicked people. And I'm not saying this to put us down, but I am saying this because these are some of the things, like I said in the last episode I recorded, that we too participate in some of these wicked things and these wicked behaviors. As I pointed out last time, you know, we fit these categories. We indulge in some of these things. I myself has indulged in some of these things. I have also been a part of this characteristic of these people who are sin and have wickedness. And this is where Paul, in this letter, he's given a really good foundation, to go on when it comes to where we're all at as human beings, okay? No matter whether you are Jew or whether you're Gentile. In other words, it's no different, okay? The difference is, I would say the only difference is, as he points out, is that the Jews had the law, okay? The Jews had the law, and he's referring to the law of Moses. He's referring to where God had established the law, with the children of Israel thousands of years ago, before Paul even came. So when Moses went and got the Ten Commandments, that was the establishment of the law. And that, this was before Jesus Christ. So he had to, God had to establish a people for himself. And this is, you know, you go back and you read this in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, you'll see where God had directed Moses and told him, this is what I want you to do and how I want to have these people as my people, right? To obey me. And as of course, as you read throughout the Bible and the Old Testament, you know, even the children of Israel had faults and they failed God, and they also disobeyed God in many different ways. So God's anger burned against them, just like the same sins and the same offenses that offended God and made God angry is the same things that God is still angry about today. Other words, we can book in what happened with the children of Israel in the Bible and where we at right now in 2023. We can see now that the same wickedness that they were indulging in, okay, and those people are no longer around. Now here we are in this generation, and not only do we have the same wickedness, but even more of it. Okay. And God, one thing about God is that he never changes. He stays the same. He has never changed. So we have to remember that even in a world right now that wants you to compromise, wants you to accept the new change, accept the whatever the culture is saying, whatever different moral compass it is. Other words, God has never changed. What was considered detestable and what was considered an abomination, or what was considered wicked or evil, those things are still his same standard today. Okay. So it says, when you say they are wicked and should be punished, and you are condemning yourselves, for you judge others, you who judge others, he says, do these very same things. This is all in verse 1. And it says, and we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things, since you judge others for doing these things. Why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? So isn't it interesting how even in this letter, he's not only is he addressing the issue of what others have done, but he's also addressing them at the same time. And this is the same thing that I can definitely say about us today. As we're reading this letter from Paul, as he's talking to the people in Rome, and he's addressing these issues, this is also relevant to us today. We have to also remember, whether you are a Christian or not, whether you call yourself a Christian or you've been in church for so long, or maybe you're not, maybe you're brand new. But the thing is that we all have to take inventory of our lives. We have to check ourselves, even check our religion, so to speak. Like I discussed a lot last week or last time I recorded, this religion or this spiritual holier than thou type of thing. We feel we're better than someone else. We can't think this way. We have to take inventory before we even judge someone else about what they're doing. Yes, we can look around and see in our world and our society how things have gotten bad. But when I look outside of myself, I have to always check myself to make sure that I'm in right standing with the Lord. And that should be our attitude. That should be our attitude as we are walking through this life, as we are fine-tuning our walk with the Lord. Amen. These things the Bible talks about, the letters that are written here through Paul to the Romans, this ought to put an alert in our spirit next to us and say, okay, am I doing these things? And if so, be honest with yourself. And it's okay. because this is what God wants us to do, and cleanse yourself of all of the righteousness. In other words, yes, Jesus died for us. Yes, he died on the cross for us. But now we should not continue to indulge in sin and sinful behaviors, things that we know that we totally repented from and turned from. All right. So this here is very telling. This is very confronting, so to speak, and telling us, look, don't be this way. And don't, if you judge other people, check yourself. Look at yourself. Look at your walk. Look at your walk and your Christian walk to make sure that you're not doing what you are condemning or judging other people of doing. Amen. Let's continue on here. So it says here in verse 3, it says, since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same thing? It's telling you, God is still, he's going to judge you just as much as he would judge the ones that you judge. Amen. So let's continue on. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? That's a good point. See, God is truly kind. He's tolerant. He's patient. Think about it. These type of sins, this type of behavior, this type of human faultiness, or this degradation of moral standards has been going on. Not just overnight. This has been going on for years. This has been going on before you and I were ever born. And God is totally what? He's totally patient. He's totally tolerant. And he's wonderfully kind. Okay. Other words, we could see if it was us and if we were God, then guess what? We would have already axed so many people out of existence already. But we're not God. Thankfully, we're not God, and we're not judging. We're not the ones that's judging. God is the final judge, okay? Through Jesus Christ, amen? So that's the thing to remember here. See, God is kind, he's tolerant, and he's patient. A lot of people forget that. A lot of people... And a lot of times, the reason why they forget that, let me just put this in here, is that we see one another, okay? The non-believing world, let's start with them. The non-believing world sees the church world. They see the people that are in church. And what happens is they see how judgmental that we are, okay? Those of us that are in church or have been in church for a long time, maybe go to church, maybe call ourselves spiritual, maybe call ourselves born again believers, or whatever title that you want to call yourself, or what the non-believing friends, spouse, children, whoever it may be that is not committed to the Lord in their lives, how do they see you? Do they see you in a way that judges them? Do they see you in a way that's unkind? Do they see you in a way that, I've heard this word before, that you're not tolerant? Okay. And I'm going to tell you like this, even though the word tolerant is in this, it's in the New Living Translation as I'm reading this, but tolerant doesn't mean that you're okay with what they're doing. Okay. You're okay with what's going on. God is never okay with the way you're living in sin. God is being tolerant because he has not called you home yet. He has not come back to this earth and judged the earth yet. Okay. Tolerant means he's giving people more time and more time and more time. Okay. Some of us, our time has ran out. Why? Because we've passed from this life. In other words, some have not had the chance to make the change. That's something to think about. There's some that are living in sin and live a lifestyle of sin, and they died well before their old age. Okay. God had taken them home. See, or taken them, I should say. I'm not going to say they're taking them home, because remember, it's appointed us once to die, and after that, we meet the judgment. We leave here and we die in this life, and then guess what? Eventually, you will wake up in front of God, who will ultimately judge you for your lifestyle. See, a lot of times, as I've been teaching about this or talking about this, We want to make sure we're correct on this. God gives us salvation for free. We don't earn it. There's nothing you have to do to earn salvation. All you have to do is accept it and believe by faith that Christ died on the cross for you. But what we have to remember, once we have the knowledge and accepted God's free gift, that doesn't mean we go on sinning. That doesn't mean we keep on living the lifestyle or in the same lifestyle that we were living. God desires us to change and walk in a different way now. Walk in the light, not in the darkness. See, that's what God wants. This is the reason why. And some of you might think, well, that's a catch. Well, yeah, he knows that you can't go to heaven based on your works, based on your good behavior. Why? Because you're inconsistent. We're all inconsistent. We try to be good for a minute. Next thing you know, we fall into sin. We try to say, I'm sorry, I did it again. You do it again. You do it 12 times again. You do it 15 times, 20 times. It's a habit. It's something that you kept doing. But you have to always go back and say, God, help me. God, help me. Now, you know, it's up to you. At what point are you going to continue to live in sin, or are you going to truly walk away from the sin that you're living in? All right. So that's a process. The process to me has been from the time you accepted Christ to the time you die. You'll never ultimately in this life be totally like free from mistakes and falling into things that God says it's not wise. Let's quickly just think about some individuals in the Bible. All right. We talk about Abraham. Abraham was a father of faith. What did he do? He failed God several times in his story. When you read it back in Genesis, where he failed God. Okay. He lied about his wife being his sister, by his wife, and called his wife his sister. He lied about her. He listened to his wife when his wife, when God told him that he was going to have a child and God was going to bless him to have a child. And because they were so old and couldn't have a child, he didn't believe God. And guess what? They made the decision, him and Sarai together, to make a decision to go ahead and have Abraham have relations with his servant, or his their servant in the house. And guess what? He had a child with her. And guess what? That was a mistake. Okay, let's go further on. You got Moses. We just talked about Moses was a man that God had used. But guess what? He also made mistakes. He disobeyed God in several ways. He got his anger got the best of him. He threw down the tablets of the Ten Commandments and broke them. Okay, he turned around instead of him speaking to the rock at Mirah. He ended up smiting the rock, hitting the rock, because he was angry with the people because they were complaining all the time. Listen, he didn't go to the promised land because of all the mistakes that he made, disobedience of his journey. And then you got David. You got King David. David, the same one, David and Goliath. We read a story about David and Goliath all the time. But when he became king, what did he do? He ended up, you know, seeing the woman, Bathsheba, bathing. He lusted after her. He sent her husband. She was married, sent her husband in battle on the front line so that he can, on purpose, so that he can be killed in order to take his wife. So there are so many individuals that are in the Bible. Okay, they're in the Bible. God has used these individuals, but guess what? They also fail God. The children of Israel, prime example. They were his people, but guess what? They made God angry. They disobeyed God as well. They, you know, back when the story of Moses, where Moses went to get the Ten Commandments. As soon as he came down, they made a golden calf. They made a idol made out of a golden calf. They took all their jewelry and their gold that they had and melted it down and made it into a golden calf. And they began to worship it. They began to have idolatry toward it and worshiping it and having all kind of parties and wickedness all around and everything. And guess what? God had to deal with his children of Israel. He had to kill off some of these people. He had to make them wander in the wilderness. Listen, I say that and use these examples because, first of all, we got to remember that God is patient and loving and he's kind. All right. He gets to a point where he has to say, okay, that's enough. Right now, at this stage of our lives, we have to take inventory of ourselves and say, God, am I living right for you? See, that should be our concern and our prayer. That should be the thing that is really motivating us in these last days. All right. So listen to this. Let's continue on, and we're going to take a short break here. It says, okay, so God is, otherwise, he says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? The kindness of God, the patience of God should turn us from our sins. But listen to this in verse 5. But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. It says he will judge everyone according to what they have what done. Okay, so let's take a quick break here. We're going to put a pin in it, and we'll be right back after this short break. All right, so welcome back. So let's get right into it. Let's start with verse 6. And so it says, he will judge, meaning God, he will judge everyone according to what they have done. Verse 7, he will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. So we see here the contrast of what he's saying. Paul's talking about in verse 6 through 8 here, he's talking about he will judge everyone according to what they have done. All right. So this is very important. And I'm going to say this. Thank God that we're living on this side of God's judgment right now. Okay, I'm gonna say that one more time for those of you that are really listening. Thank God that we are on this side of God's judgment for now. And the reason why I say on this side, because God has not yet judged you, just like he has not judged me. What does that mean for both of us? What does that mean for my listening audience and for me, myself? That means we still have time. We have what did the former scripture say? We still have the patient, the tolerant, and the great and the wonderful kindness or the grace of God. Amen. So we have to remember that. Remember that, okay? We are still living in a time, even though it's evil, the world is evil right now. We see all kind of things that are happening in our world today. We see that God is still patient and tolerant and wonderfully kind, amen? So what does that mean for us? That means get it right. That means don't procrastinate. That means do it now. That means clean your life up right now. That means don't wait until the last minute. Those of you that procrastinate, wait till the last minute. Don't do it. God can end it at any time, at any split second, even as I'm talking. Okay? God can end it. Okay? So let's get it right, saints. Let's go further on in here. He will give what? Eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality God offers. Listen, God is offering eternal life. Okay? See, the life that we're living here on earth is not, this is not it. This is not all there is. Listen, I so far, my mother and my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, and cousins and few family members that I know of now, they've all passed away. Now, they don't have a chance like I do to get it right. Okay? But listen to this. He is offering eternal life. My parents, God rest their souls, they are living eternal life. Why? Because their life was dedicated to the Lord. They preached, my father preached about the Lord all the time. And he lived, not just preach. Let me make sure I'm getting this straight. My father and my parents, they lived it out in front of me and my sister. We were a witness to their testimony and their lifestyle. In other words, Jesus was the head of their lives. God is the head of their lives. So they displayed that in front of us. So it was easy to understand that they are now in the presence of God right now. It's easy for us to accept that they have eternal life. Amen. So, but I'm saying this right now, as we read in the scriptures, it says in verse 7, he will what? Give eternal life to those who keep on doing what? Good and seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. God is offering all these things right now. Immortality. Okay. He's offering immortality. He's offering eternal life. What is eternal life? Forever with him. Verse 8, but he will what? He will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. Now, I want to emphasize this part right here, live lives of wickedness. In other words, this is where you know the truth, have been a part of the truth, understand it, and you are aware of what you're doing. Okay, so you are aware of what you're doing. So, you know, living wicked lives habitually on purpose, never wanting to do what's right. Okay, so in verse 9, this is the results. This is what you're going to get if you live in wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil. Okay? That's everybody. That's all of us. Anybody that keeps on doing evil. That means you keep on doing it. You don't stop. You don't take a break. You don't say this is wrong. You matter of fact, you know it's wrong. Like it says in Romans chapter 1. You know it's wrong, but you still gonna keep doing it. You know it's wrong. You know God doesn't approve of it, but you're still going to keep living that way. You know that you can go to hell for the way you live in, and you don't care. You know that there's a fork in the road. There's heaven or hell. You know that if you die right now, you'll go to hell. Okay. So then here we go here. It says for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile. Hold on just a second here. Just give me just a second as I continue here. Okay. So as I was saying, I was trying to almost lost my thought here as I was reading. I got a message. So it says there will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. It says, but there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first, also for the Gentile. And I want to stop right here. This is very interesting right here that we see that Paul is addressing this crowd or this church or this group of people in this letter, and he's making the distinction for the Jew and for the Gentiles. He is preaching to a group of two different categories of people here. I think he is preaching to the Jews, but he's also mentioning the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Again, some of you may know this already. That's the person you listen to is considered a Gentile. If Paul were to be alive today, he would say that Larry, I'm a Gentile. Why? Because I wasn't born as a Jew. I wasn't born over, as a Hebrew. I wasn't born in the Jewish state or in the Jewish country. I wasn't born a Jew. And the reason why there's a difference between a Jew and a Gentile, because first of all, remember the Hebrew people at that time, they knew the law and the law, and they were held according and to their culture and everything else. God had chosen them. You know, I don't want to get into all the things that's happening today, but this is something that we got to pay attention to. The nation of Israel right now is at war, but it's not to the place where it's partially moving into Bible prophecy, but it's also getting everybody to pay attention, including myself, because of the simple fact that God's time is coming to a close as we see things merging and moving together in that region of the world right now. Okay. The thing about it all is that everything is going according to what the Bible says. And this is why we should not be afraid, not be nervous, not be scared, not even be caught up in the current events of today, because we ought to be focusing on our lives, getting our lives right with the Lord, like the Bible's saying, and also make sure we're reaching others for the kingdom of God before time is come short, before time ends. All right. You see what it says here, though? It says for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. I want to say this, too. I am so glad that we are included. I'm glad that we're mentioned. If you ever want to know if you're mentioned right here. As a Gentile, we are part of this. We are engrafted. We are the ones that are engrafted in. And I thank God for that. All right. I thank God for that. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care what country you're from or what ethnicity you're from. You are a Gentile because you're outside of the Jewish promise of the promise that God has given to the Jews. OK, you are also along with the Jews. Amen. See what it says here in verse 11. For God does not show favoritism. You might say two sets of children. He have the Jewish people, the children of Israel, or those that are of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, and which we all are part of, or, from the line of David and all that. But at the same time, we're also a part of Abraham spiritually. Otherwise, he's the father of faith. We are the children of faith, but we believe by faith that Christ died for us, for our sins. And guess what? We are all a part of this. But at the same time, Paul is letting us know in this letter that he shows no favoritism between the Jewish people and the Gentiles, which is us. Amen. Listen to this. Verse 12, when the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. Written law, meaning the Ten Commandments, the tablets that Moses got from God that was written, and they had to go by it. Remember, read the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Read the book of Exodus. Read the book of Deuteronomy. You begin to see the breakdown of the law in which God had for his children way back then, way before Christ came. Amen. And see, they had, the Jews had God's written law. And it says, and the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by that law when they fail to obey it. Remember, the Jews, they had the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, and they had teachers of religious law. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They read it. They taught it. They had to live by it. Okay. That was the difference. Us Gentiles, we didn't fall under that, but we have, like he says, we have that law written on our heart. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again and you have turned and repented of your sins and turned to the Lord, guess what? The Holy Spirit is now the one to take residence in you. Like the Bible says, God will be living inside of you now. So now you are born again. Your spirit is made alive. That means your spirit, man, is now awakened to God's standards, to God's his standards of living. Okay, that same law, excuse me, that was given to the Jewish people is now written on our heart. We confirm that, yes, this is the way that we should live. This is the way that is pleasing to the Lord. This is the way to honor the Lord. This is the way that we should, like the Bible tells us, to keep doing good and pursuing glory and honor and immortality. So these are the things that is written in our heart. As Gentiles, we have it written on our heart. We have it written in our conscience. We already know, and we are awakened. Now your conscience, after you are born again, your conscience should be awakened to God's way of what he desires for you. In other words, when I got saved, it's a different when you go to church. You go to church because it's religion. You go to church because that's what you did on Sunday. You go to church because you go to Bible study. This is what you're supposed to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not putting any of that down, but that is what you call duties. That is what you call religion. And again, if religion saved you, that's good. But now you are what you call born again. That means you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your heart. You are now not just Savior, but he is now Lord. He is now master of your life, and you obey him. You, like Paul liked to say, I am a slave to Christ. So we have to remember that. We have to remember that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. Christ paid a price. He paid his life for us, for our lives. Amen. So we have to now understand that God's law is now written on our heart. Amen. So listen to this. So verse 12, when the Gentile sins, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by that law when they fail to obey it. Verse 13, for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. Listen to that again. I'm going to read that one more time. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying, emphasize the word obeying, the law that makes us right in his sight. Now it says, even though he goes back, you notice how he goes back. He talks about the Jewish people. Now he's talking about the Gentiles. In verse 14, even though Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, right? Even though without having heard it, okay? Without even having heard it. So we're going to take another break. I know it's been kind of lengthy on this one, and we're going to come right back. All right. So thank you again for just sticking with me. I know this has been kind of lengthy. So we're going to come to this conclusion, though. This will be the last segment that we'll be going through. So we're going to pick it right up right after. Let's see here. Let's go back and just read. I'm sorry. I know this might be going back a little bit from what I just recorded, but let's go to 14, verse 14, Romans chapter 2, verse 14. It says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law, so that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. Okay. So when you get saved, as I said before, when you get saved, when you are born again, that means when your spirit, when the Lord now is in you and he is now one with your spirit. Now you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit that is telling you, directing you, guiding, convicting you of the things that you used to do, the lifestyle you are or may have been living in, and he's convicting you. That's not right. That's not good. You shouldn't do that. You know, you should stop doing this. Stop looking at that. Participating in those type of things, or stop hanging around with them same type of people. Some of you out there can identify with some of this, especially if you maybe were trying to quit smoking, maybe trying to quit drinking, and you're trying to kick the habit, right? And they tell you whether you are part of AA or whatever. I've never been a part of that, but I've heard stories. I've heard, you know, people that talk about it. You know, you got to stay away from the people that you were doing those things with. You got to stay away from, you got to get away from the same environments. And that's the same thing it is here. The Holy Spirit now will begin to merge, to begin to minister to you, begin to guide you. And listen, he's not going to force you. You have to be willing and wanting the Lord to guide you and direct you to be a better man or woman. Okay. And he will. He will, especially if you don't know what it's like to live for the Lord. God is, he wants you to be like him. Amen. Let's continue on here. It says, so this is why I wanted to say that, because they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them. Listen to this, either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Okay. Verse 16. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Okay. Now, again, as always, you know, I want you guys, whoever may be listening to this message right now, take this message to heart. Take this letter to heart. If you need to, read Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 all over again. Pray. Ask the Lord to show you, speak to you through this book, through this letter that Paul has written. You know, we have the whole Bible now. So we are, like the Bible says, we are without excuse. We have God's word. We have so many ways. And as I pointed out before, we still have time. If you wake up tomorrow, praise God, you still have time. If Christ hasn't came back for his church, guess what? You still have time. That means get it right. That means don't procrastinate. Listen to this. He says, I proclaim that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Everyone's, guys. That's me. That's you. That's the person that you're thinking about right now. We need to take inventory of our salvation. If we're saved, make sure if you have been kind of straddling the fence, kind of one foot in the world, one foot in the church, don't do that. Time to come all the way in. Give God your whole life. Dedicate your life to him. Am I saying that you got to stop, you know, providing for your family and going to work and being doing the responsible things that we're supposed to do? No, I'm saying change the way that you're viewing your life and the things that you're participating in, the things that you are allowing to happen in your life. Okay. Ask God to show you what is it that you don't want me doing. Convict me, show me by the Holy Spirit. Show me so that I can be more pleasing to you, so that I can be a witness for you, so I can be a light in this dark world. Amen. It's so important as we're living in this time that we have to take our salvation very serious. Your relationship with God, your dedication to God. Listen, this is a good time to pray more, to read your word more, to seek him more in your life, to tell others about Christ, to share your testimony with others. This is a great time, a perfect time, more than any time in our lifetime right now. So, as the scripture has said, as the verse has said, as we read earlier, God is being patient. He said, what did he say in verse 4? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? He's being totally kind and he's being tolerant. Some people in our culture today, if you tell them about God or you tell them about their sin, you tell them about the lifestyle they're living, they say you're not tolerant. They say you're narrow-minded. See, you see how that is? And you see it here in the Bible where it says God is being tolerant and he's being patient. See, he's being patient. But everything has an end. And at this time, when this was written, or even when Paul was speaking it or writing this letter, guess what? That was thousands of years ago. And here we are now. And don't you agree that God is being patient? It's been over 1,000+ years. So it's been 2,000 years ago now. And God has not judged us yet. Listen, don't wait. Don't wait. Thank God, as I said before, that we are on this side of the judgment, not on that other side. Thank God that you're still alive. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, that you're still alive and you're still breathing and you still are trying to make that decision. Listen, as we close, let's pray. Let us pray. I pray that you make the decision to follow the Lord in your life. I pray that if you're listening to me, you've obviously have listened to me at this point of the episode, and you've listened to the entire episode now. And now I'm going to ask you to make the most important decision in your life while you're still living here, while you still can say today is today. You need to accept Christ as your personal savior. Remember, Christ died for your sins. He died for my sins. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, that's all of us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life, will have everlasting life, will have life in the presence of him. You will not have to die and wonder where are you going. You won't have to die and wonder whether or not God's going to accept you or not. Amen. You need to accept him right now. Amen. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't turn. Don't finish this podcast or don't finish this episode and still be thinking in your mind, well, maybe I should have did it. Maybe I shouldn't. Even though you still have time, but you never, ever know. Amen. And am I trying to scare you or convince you? I'm kind of trying to convince you, but the word should tell you and it should convince you already. I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. So let's pray. Let's have a word of prayer before we leave. Father God, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you for blessing us with this word, for listening, for letting us read about how you feel about sin and how you will judge sin. You will judge our lifestyles of sin. Lord, I'm praying for my listener right now. I pray that if my listener is listening to me and they have not accepted you as your personal Savior, Lord, I pray right now that they would open their heart and their mind, their heart to you right now. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I'm sorry. But Lord, I want to come to you. I want to open my life to you, my heart to you. I want to give my life to you right now. Lord, I believe in my heart that you died, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I now believe and receive the salvation that you have given me freely. I ask right now to come into my life and come into my heart. And Lord, forgive me and cleanse me of all of unrighteousness. Help me to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. Lord, guide me and direct me, Lord God. I need your help. I need your direction. I need your guidance. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your love and your patience with me. Continue to walk with me throughout the rest of my life. Lord, I'm going to turn from my sins. I'm going to turn from my wickedness. I'm going to give my heart and my life to you. Lord, I thank you so much for loving me, for giving me another chance. And I thank you again, and I praise you, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, even though you prayed a prayer, and I hope you meant it, but now you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life. Now's the first day of the rest of your life to begin to follow after God. Read your Bible every day. Pray every single day. That means talking to God every single day. Go find you a good church home, a pastor that can help you and to be a good shepherd for you. Lord, you know, I just pray that your walk can be discipled by someone that can help disciple you in the ways of the Lord. Okay, so I'm just a regular voice out there, just like you are. I'm nobody special, but I feel the burden to share the gospel and share the good news with anybody and anybody who will listen. In the meantime, please subscribe and share to this podcast so that others can hear this word, share this word with someone. I pray that this message has been good for you. Keep your notifications on. I'll be going over the second part of Romans chapter 2 as we go along here. And we'll be continuing on. I think next we'll be talking about the Jews and the law in the book of Romans chapter 2. You can go ahead and read it ahead of me. And by the time you hear me again, we'll be talking about this. And that'll be from chapter 2, verses 17 through verse 29. So again, I thank you again for tuning in. God bless you. God bless you and your family. And I'll be seeing you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.